As we've traveled through this season of Lent as a parish community, we've been reflecting on the words of Jesus from the cross. As we've traveled through this season of Lent together, supporting one another, our reflections on those words have brought us closer and closer to the foot of the cross. As we've drawn near, we've heard Jesus asking forgiveness for the ones who are tormenting him. As we've drawn near, we've heard Jesus promise new life to a repentant thief. As we've drawn near, we've seen Jesus initiate a new community, a new family that goes beyond the bounds of genetics and biology, a new family that gathers at the foot of the cross. And it all starts with this tiny little mustard seed of his mother and the disciple whom he loved. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. As we draw near today, our reflections bring us to a place that is, frankly, a difficult place to be. We draw near to Jesus in our reflections today and this week. We draw closer to Jesus and we hear him say words that go straight through our hearts. My God, why have you abandoned me? They're hard words to hear. They're hard for lots of reasons. They're hard because they remind us of the radical reality of the incarnation. When the Word becomes flesh, he takes on our human reality in all its fullness and all its frailty and all its weakness. And when we humans are overwhelmed with pain and distress, we cry out from the very bottom of our hearts. And that's where Jesus is today. We've never been in precisely the same place where Jesus is, you and I. But we've seen glimpses of it. Moments when friends who were with us in the good times seem to disappear in the bad. Moments when people who were at the center of our lives seem to turn their backs on us. Times when we've felt isolated or forgotten or abandoned. Times when Jesus' words may well have been our words. Why is this happening? My God, why have you forsaken me? And the question becomes, how do we react in those times? Because they're going to come. My grandfather used to say, you know, sorrow in life is compulsory. Misery is optional. Sorrow is compulsory. When sorrow comes, how do we react? I'll tell you how I handle it in my deep immaturity. Maybe it'll ring some bells for you. When this kind of abandonment comes, usually I try to gut it out. Get tough. Usually I try to bottle up all the disappointment and anger and seal it deep inside where no one can see, not even me, maybe not even God. So I tell myself. Trouble is, that takes a whole lot of energy. And when I can't just do it anymore, what I'll do is I'll dissolve into childishness. And I'll ask, why should this be happening to me? The only answer is, well, why not me? Neither reaction does much good. Neither reaction leads anywhere, except deeper into self-pity. But what does Jesus do? We know that in his humanity, Jesus is not immune from suffering, but he shows us a different way of reacting to it, a way that's more honest, more noble, more human, more health-giving, a way that's honest before God, a way that leads somewhere. The words that we hear Jesus speak this morning come from a deep, deep place in his heart. They are words that Jesus would have heard chanted and prayed in his home since before he could remember. They are words that he would have heard in synagogue, in the temple. They're words that he would have known stone cold by heart since he was a little boy. They're the first words of a psalm of lament, the psalm we know as Psalm 22. One of the most powerful lamenting psalms that there are, and there are a lot. Now I know that we sometimes have trouble with those psalms of lament. I think we have trouble with the psalms of lament for a couple of reasons. First of all, we have trouble seeing the difference between lamenting and complaining. We have trouble with the Psalms of Lament because somehow, and I think this is a particularly Episcopalian sin, somehow we've been brought up to believe that we must always be proper and polite with Mr. God. This psalm, the Psalms of Lament, teach us otherwise. First of all, lament is not complaint. Complaint leaves us stuck in our own victimhood. Lament acknowledges our disappointment and pain, but in a way that leads us out of despair, back to God, into new possibilities. The old definition of the difference between lament and complaint was, lament is what I do, and complaint is what you do. That's awfully clever, but it's not very helpful. There's a good example of the difference between lament and complaint in our gospel reading this morning. When the younger son in Jesus' parable wakes up sleeping in the pig pen, when he comes to himself and says, "This sucks." When he gets a clear vision of his own self and says, I've sinned against my Father who loves me, and I've sinned against heaven, where God the Father who loves me resides. I'm at the bottom. I gotta move out of here. I'm going home, whatever might happen. When the younger son says and does those things, that's lament. And it leads him somewhere. Now, when the older son comes and gripes to his dad about the party that's going on, and accuses dad of the father who, by the way, gave the older son his part of the inheritance the same time he gave it to the younger son, The father whose house he's been living in and whose food he's been eating all these years, when he gets jealous of his brother's party, gets into snit and won't come in, that's complaint. The younger son experiences reconciliation. The older son experiences isolation and bitterness. I've always prayed that he got over it and joined the party eventually. I experience the difference between the way the world is and the way I want it to be, and I complain. We experience the difference between the way the world is and the way God intends it to be, and we lament. That's the difference. Lament can lead us out of our preoccupation with ourselves back to God. The Psalms of Lament also remind us that we don't need to be hiding or trying to hide things from God out of some misguided sense of politeness. The Psalms of Lament remind us that God knows our hearts better than we know them ourselves, so it's no use trying to sugarcoat things or hide them to be proper and polite. The Psalms of Lament remind us nothing we say will ever shock God. We aren't going to really tell him anything he doesn't already know. And when we're done lamenting, he's still going to be there, and he's still going to love us. Psalms of Lament remind us that, yeah, we can get angry. God can take it. The Psalms of Lament give the people of Israel, and they give us a way to pour out our true feelings to the Lord. We got to do it. If you were at our Wednesday night Lenten supper with Stephen Hansen this week past, you may well have experienced for yourself how powerful that can be. Lament is important because it leads us out of our despair and back to God. As Stephen said on Wednesday, and it's really worth remembering, the most important word in any psalm of lament is the word but. Yes, pain and suffering are real, very real. But God is a God of wisdom. Pain and suffering are very real, but God is still God who wants the best for his children ultimately. God is still God who can redeem any situation, no matter how chaotic or messed up. If God can redeem the cross, he can redeem what's happening to me and what's happening to you. Yes, sorrow is real. But God is a God who can overcome any sorrow that the world throws at us, no matter how deep. Sorrow is real. But God is faithful. Jesus, from the cross, praise the words of what we know as the 22nd Psalm. What's recorded and what we've been reflecting on are the first lines of Psalm 22. But it's good to hear how this psalm ends. For God does not despise the poor in their poverty, neither does he hide his face from them. But when they cry, he hears them. Kingship belongs to God. He rules over the world. My soul shall live for him, and my descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord's forever. They shall make known to people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done. That's where Jesus was going when he uttered those words we remember today. That's the power of honest lament. Jesus is guiding us from the cross today, guiding us by his example into a place of complete and utter honesty with God wherever we are. 3 days later, his trust was proven correct. Jesus guides us into the place of honest lament. You in your life, me in mine, us together in ours. It's not always easy, and it's not always pretty, but it's the way to new life. In Jesus' name.